you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to them. You need to look on the screen. We got it right here. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Have everyone stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to quote from the Message Bible, so it might read a little different from you. This is my ghetto version. So it might read a little different than yours, but trust me, they go hand in hand. And it reads, "My people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their back on their wicked lives. I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health." If you don't mind, shake somebody's hand and says, "I'll be there."
I'll be there.
Yeah, shake two more people's hands, tell them, "I'll be there." Yeah, I'll be there. God's going to be there for you. In 2019, God's going to be there for you. Amen.
Amen.
The Jackson 5, arguably one of the great, maybe sitting in the presence of the Lord, my Father. The Jackson 5, arguably one of the greatest groups of all time, released a song in 1970 titled, "I'll Be There." It was released on Motown Records and a single from their third album. The song was written by Berry Gordy, Bob West, Willie Hutch, and Hal Davis, who also produced the track. And we all remember how wonderful young Michael Jackson sounded on that song, y'all. Mike killed that. And as I started to get things together to reminisce on how good Michael sounded, I looked at this scripture and I had a New King James Version. I knew the New Living Translation Version, but I decided to read it in the Message Bible, and it tripped me out because it said, "I'll be there ready for you." And that stirred up something in my spirit. The first verse in that wonderful song, he says, "You and I must make a pact. You and I must make a pact." That's what Mike said. We was making an agreement, a pact. But then he said this, "We must bring salvation back." So you and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. I think about God, because salvation only comes from God. So God is saying, even in this text, if you make an agreement with me, I'll bring salvation to you. And then he said this in the other verse, "I'll reach out my hand to you. All have faith in all you do." My God, is God reaching out his hand to us and waiting on us to have faith in him like he has faith in us?
Amen.
Is he ready to bless us?
Amen.
And then I shared this, just trust me out. Then he dropped this bomb and he says, "Just call my name and I'll be there." And I'm crazy enough to believe that if you just call God's name, any time of the day, any time of the night, anywhere you went, if I just call his name,
amen,
I'm crazy enough to believe that he'll be there.
Amen.
So we look at this text today, we look at the scripture, and we're about to dig into this thing. Solomon is dedicating, I got to give you a little pretext before I jump into the text. Solomon is dedicating this immaculate temple he has built to God. King David, who was his father, wanted to build the temple, but God told him, "Look here, you're a man of war. You got blood on your hand. You did this, a couple of things that kind of messed up your name a little bit. I don't want you to build this temple for me. I'm going to have your son complete the vision for me." So if you don't mind right there, I'm going to pause for a quick second. King David's son had to complete his daddy's mission. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to leave money, house, and good credit to my children too. All that's important. I want to leave them some money. I want to die, have a life insurance policy so my kids are blessed to have some money. I want to leave some good credit. I want to leave some land. I want to leave all these things to them, but I want to leave a vision for them too.
Yeah.
Some things that money can't buy. That means I want to leave a legacy for my kids as well. So look at the scriptures in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. It says this in verse 8. "But the Lord said to my father David," this is Solomon talking, "where it was when in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son will come from your body. He shall build the temple for my name." A legacy is something that continues after I die. Yeah, if a vision dies when I die, then it's not much of a vision.
Wow.
Trying to preach and trying to help somebody, but they don't understand. If my vision dies when I die, if Martin Luther King's vision died with him, where would we be at today?
Amen.
So a vision, his dream went beyond his lifespan. So I'm going to have a vision that must go on. We don't see anywhere in the scripture, in the text, that King David was angry or jealous that he didn't get to complete the temple.
Wow.
He was not jealous or angry that his son had to complete his work. So what God is telling us as parents, we are never to be jealous of our children.
That's good.
Never. You should want your children to go farther than you in life. You should want your children to exceed farther than you in life. That should be your plan, your desire. You should never be jealous of your children. You're here to help them and push them. I graduated college last year at 34. She graduated at 35. Well, my daughter do it at 22. But I'm like, hey, I want you to do better than me. I want you to do this thing right and do it. So we should all want our children to do better than us. Because as parents, we got to realize that we are leaving a legacy. If we're a tree, a branch, all our children are just fruit and leaves falling off that tree. And if the fruit don't fall far from the tree, how are we going to set them up for success in life? How are we going to have them and push them into their destiny? Amen. So Solomon, he spared no expense on getting this temple together. His workers followed every order God gave them, and the temple took 7 years to build. One of the words God gave me for 2019 is this: persistence.
Amen.
You have to be persistent. What does persistent mean? Continually, firmly, or abstainingly in the course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition.
That's good.
When is the last time you focused on something so hard that you had to complete it? When is the last time you focused and said, no matter what happens or what gets in my way, I have to get this done? It took them 7 years to get the results they wanted. We quit after 7 days. I just started this thing. We into it. We hype in 7 days. A little opposition comes our way. A little things don't go the way we plan them to go. And we're ready to quit. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. If you want to get what God has for you in 2019, you got to be persistent. You got to have some pushback. Amen. Because if anybody knows they've been living long enough, life's going to punch you in the mouth one of these days.
Yeah.
And it's going to be up to you if you get up. You're going to either stay in 2018 or you're going to come on in 2019. I'm sorry 2018 was hard. I'm sorry you had some issues. I'm sorry it beat you up a little bit. But if you don't get up, you're going to stay in 2018. God has put us in a new year. You got to get up and get to moving. So don't miss this. The major thing when Solomon building this temple for Jerusalem, the purpose of it was to create a centralized place to unify the whole nation so they could worship God. That was his purpose for building this temple. So check this out, Brother Solomon. This is Solomon's temple that he built. As you can see, it's immaculate. It has gold everywhere. The holies of holies. We had a tabernacle. But God, he took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in Solomon's temple. And it's all kind of things on there. It was huge. Amazing. It was an amazing building. And truth be told, God don't really need a building. Amen.
Amen.
God is everywhere. His throne is in heaven. So he didn't need a place on earth. But it was his heart to put someplace on earth so God could come down and bless it. Amen. But God didn't need it. But he was appreciative that you thought enough to put a place on earth for my presence to dwell. Amen.
Amen.
So this was Solomon's temple right here. Check this out. Then Solomon, this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in his presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands.
Wow.
Yeah, y'all miss y'all shout.
Yeah. Wow.
He stood in front of the altar of all the, so this is the king of Israel, and he stood there and lifted out his hands. What does that mean? The king stood in front of everybody, the whole nation, and said, you know what? I know I got thousands of priests. I know I got people that know how to pray. I know I got all these people in line, but they need to see me praying.
Yeah,
the king said, it's cool I got all y'all, but y'all need to see me praying that I'm willing to lift my hands and surrender to God. I'm willing to lift my hands and spread them out to show you how it has to be done. So if you don't get anything today, get this. It's important for the leader to go first. Yeah, you got to lead by example. He said, you know what? I'm going to start this thing off. I'm going to get this thing going. So he was not trying to be grand. No, he wasn't. He was the king. God already said, you're the wisest king that ever will be. I'm going to bless you with gold and riches and all that. So he had all this stuff. But what he was trying to do was let them know, I'm the king, but I follow the king of kings.
Amen.
So check this out. You might not be a king, my brothers in here, but you're the king of your castle.
Amen.
When is the last time your wife seen you with your hands open? Spread, praying to God.
Wow. Wow.
When is the last time our children have seen us with our hands up?
Yeah.
Spread, praying to God. When is the last time, it falls for women too as well, have we even taught our children how to pray?
Yeah.
Do they know how to pray? Because there'll come a time in their life where they're going to have to know how to pray to get through what they're going through.
Yeah.
So it is imperative that we are the ones, that we are the kings and queens of our castle, whatever your situation is. Somebody in there got to know how to pray and show how to pray too. Amen.
Amen.
So Solomon says, you know what? I'm going to address some things in my prayer. It goes all the way to verse 40. So I don't have time to dig into that. But please read 2 Chronicles chapter 6. It's great. He's praying for all these things. There were some issues that were important to Solomon the king. See, some issues that were important. He believed that we should be concerned with this. And I believe we should be concerned with these things as well. Solomon asked God to help them with specific things. Remember, when you pray, God loves you to be specific.
Amen.
Don't just say anything. What are you praying for?
Yeah.
Solomon asked God to help them with crime. When their enemies attack them, when it's a drought, when it's a famine, when it's foreigners, when they're dealing with war and sin. All these things Solomon prayed for and asked for help. And I got to thinking, how much better would our country be if our president, not just this one, but all of them, said, you know what? I'm going to go before the Lord with prayer with our issues. I'm not going to move out of my emotions. I'm not going to be, because I'm the chief and I'm in charge, just make decisions. I'm going to go for God. But guess what? We live in a nation where presidents ain't praying like they should be. Where the leaders are not praying. So what does that mean? That means the church has to pray. We have to pray. Indianapolis, I love my city. We broke the record for homicides in 2018. That should burden our hearts. There was over 100, I believe it was 154 murders last year in our city. Just last month, a 14-year-old boy robbed a Family Dollar and killed somebody. Him and a group of teenagers. That should burden our hearts. So God says this, what? Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. So if he cares for us, he hears us, guess what? We got to come against the spirit of murder, of hate, of angry, of war, all these things. We have to bind them in Jesus' name. If we don't pray for it, who going to stop it? We see the issues in our city arise, and Solomon seen the issues in their nation arise. So we said, we got to do something about this. We got to go to the one who can change it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Check this out. So now we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says this, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Wow. The glory of the Lord. When Solomon got done praying, look at this. When the leader got done praying and going to God for the nation, fire came down. That means his presence, his prayer was answered. But don't miss this. They also made a sacrifice.
Wow.
Don't miss this. He prayed, but then he also made a sacrifice as well, which means I'm not only going to pray to God, but I got to show God how serious I am about what I can do with my earthly goods.
Amen.
Don't miss this. So look at what this is, what Solomon offered before the people. This is what the people of Solomon came together. Look at this. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls. It's a lot of meat. 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house to the Lord. Ooh, check this out. They offered all this up to God. Why? Check this out. God cares more about your heart being right than just a financial sacrifice. Don't get it twisted. I'm not the pastor that's going to tell you, throw a dollar and holler. Throw some money at it and God going to take care of it. And I'm not that pastor. I'm not going to tell you to do that. You can't put money on everything and then God's going to fix it. It doesn't work like that. But check this out. You can't use money as a bargaining piece with God as my sacrifice. But guess what? We cannot say we love God like we really do and don't not willing to sacrifice nothing.
Amen.
God's called us to sacrifice. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because if he really has your heart, then you got to have some time for him.
Amen.
Mm. It's a new year, and we love New Year's resolutions. And it's cool. Some people hate it. Some people love it. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you got to do to motivate yourself, motivate yourself. Whatever you got to do. But check this out. But if we're going to get to where we want to be, if we're going to see your New Year's resolutions come to pass, if you're going to do anything in life, guess what you're going to have to do? Sow a seed of sacrifice.
Amen.
Yeah. You're going to have to sow a seed of sacrifice. Solomon knew, I can't build this type of temple for God. I can't offer God this type of amazing place and don't bring a sacrifice for him to worship.
Yeah.
If you plan to grow closer to the Lord this year, you're going to have to sacrifice your time,
Amen.
Your talent, and your treasure.
Amen.
All three, time, talent, and treasure are going to need to be given to the Lord so you can grow.
Amen.
If you're trying to get that degree this year, it's going to be some long days and long nights.
Amen.
You're going to have to sacrifice that time. If you're trying to open up that business you've been dreaming about, you're going to have to sacrifice. If you're going to try to be a better parent, a better husband, a better wife, a better single. Get your credit together. Whatever you're going to do, it's not just going to happen just by happen chance. You're going to have to sow a seed of sacrifice.
Amen. That's good.
Yes, yes. So they came and they sowed the seed. And check this out. 2 Chronicles chapter verse 12. Check this out. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Woo. A house of sacrifice. After praying and worshiping God, God appeared and answered his prayer and told him, I have heard your prayer from heaven. I love that. This text gives me confidence in the God I serve.
Amen.
It gives me confidence right there that God not only sees me, but he hears me and will. Yeah, I love that. He said, I heard from heaven. So when I'm talking to him, he's listening. Even though God has to keep the planets in orbit, even though he has to keep the sun hot, the moon shining, the stars bright, even though he has to change the seasons, even though he has to keep the ocean roaring, even though he has to do all these things, he still hears my voice. That alone is the reason he deserves praise, deserves honor, because he still hears me. And not only me, but people across the world praying to him at the same time. You know how awesome that is? We can't even deal with three kids talking to us at the same time. You frustrated. What you want? Mom, Luke, what's your name? I forgot your name. We all over the place. And you mean to tell me the whole world is talking to him? And he's still hearing our requests? The God we serve is awesome. He hears our prayers. Look at verse 13. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. I love this. You probably, how do you love that, Pastor? It says, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain. Why do you love something like that? Because we always quick to blame the devil. The devil did it. The devil did it. The devil. God says, when I shut up heaven, when I devour the locust, send the locust to devour the land, when I send pestilence. So God is showing that he is the supreme rule. The devil only got any, only power the devil got, God let him have it. He ain't as bad as we make him out to be. We want to blame him and make him out to this, but check this out. No, it's not that. It's not just the devil. It is our sin and our rebellion which causes God to withhold good things from us. Yeah, yeah. The reason he is shutting up heaven is because we out here sinning. That messed me up right there. That God is in control of everything. So since God is in control of everything, look at what he tells us. He says this, check this out. In verse 14, where we started at, my people, my God-defined people, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, seeking my face, and turning their back on their wicked lives. I'll be there ready for you.
Yes.
I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. God is trying to produce some humility in us.
Amen.
Yeah. I know you balling, shot collar. I know you living good, living great. You cute, in shape, got your credit, got how, got car. I know you living good. I know you all that in a bag of chips. But don't nothing shake without God say so.
Amen. Yeah.
I know, see, when I'm humble, I realize every breath is a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't be too conceited and too propped up about my life because I know my alarm clock didn't wake me up. I know that. I know that if it wasn't for his grace, him breathing life into me and fresh breath into me, I wouldn't even be up this morning.
That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank
and what is God? God, the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
So God can't even deal with proud people. So there's no way you can be anointed and arrogant. Yeah. You cannot be anointed and arrogant because God don't like pridefulness. You cannot be operating in God's spirit and be full of yourself. He don't like none of that. Check this out. In Proverbs 6 and 16, it says there are six things the Lord hates. He says, nah, it's seven things the Lord hates. And you know what number one on the list is? A proudful look. God hates pride. Why? Because God, Bible says God knows our frame and he remembers we are dust. Tell him every year, you dusty. Yeah. I know you look good today, but you dusty. You dusty. God made you from dust, from the dust of the ground. So how can the dust of the ground be prideful in my presence? How can the dust of the ground turn their back on me? How can the dust of the ground not acknowledge me and give me praise and glory and think they run this thing when they are just dust? See, check this out. When you know God is in control, he got your front, back, side to side. He's all around you. When you know that, you're not cocky in yourself, but you're confident in your God.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh,
So I'm not cocky in what I'm able to do. I'm not prideful, no, but I'm confident he got my back. Amen. So that's how we got to get to the point where we're no longer cocky, but we're confident in who God says he is. So when I'm humble, I'm under subjection to God's authority. See, when I'm humble, it's a lot easier to pray and seek his face.
Amen.
Yeah. It's easier than when I'm prideful. See, one of the main objectives as your pastor this year and to help you and to grow is in your prayer life.
Amen.
Yeah. The more I communicate with God, the better our relationship gets.
Amen.
Yeah, don't miss that. The more our better our relationship gets, the better I treat the thing he loves the most, which is people.
Amen.
So that's why prayer is so important. So we're going to dig into prayer. It's going to be a year of prayer for us as well. Check this out. So what is prayer? Because Solomon is praying to God. What is prayer? The first thing I got up there is intimately know, love, and worship him.
Amen.
Yeah. God is calling us to prayer. This is like when he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's our Father. He's our Father. So that if you're my Father, I intimately know you. I love you. So prayer is an ongoing daily way to know God and to get better in your relationship with God. To comprehend, to understand more of who he is and what he does. Then once we comprehend and know him, we better experience him more and more. And the deeper we experience him, guess what? The more our love and respect grows for him.
Amen.
So we took comprehension tests in school. You can read something. You can read whatever. I might be able to read the words, but if I can't comprehend it, I don't really understand it. So what I'm saying is to intimately know God, we can pray, but not coming from a sense of our heart. We're just repeating words or saying what we heard or things like that. But it's no way to pray. God loves you where you at. And you got to say, God, your boy is struggling down here right now. God, I need you right now. I don't know nothing else. Because the Bible tells us that not only will we pray, but the Spirit prays too. So the Holy Spirit is praying for us. And it says he makes grumblings without words. Can't even understand. And not only is the Holy Spirit praying, but Jesus, who died now, sits at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven praying for us right now. So Jesus praying for us. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. So all you got to do is say, God, take me as I am. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. Get to know him. He will help you out. He promised he will. But if you don't comprehend who God is through his word, you won't never understand who he is. Anything God has dropped this in my spirit, that's why brothers, especially us, it's so important to be fathers in our children's life. Think about this. Instantly know, love, and worship him. Our Father who is in heaven. So check this out. If he's supposed to be my Father, how can I understand a spiritual Father that I've never seen? I don't understand an earthly Father I see all the time. Yeah, yeah. How am I expect my children to get to know God as Father when I don't understand me as Father? So you as a father, I want to encourage you this year, 2019. I don't care what happened in the past. I don't care the baby mama tripping. I don't care. Get yourself with them kids and get in their life.
Amen.
You only have a small window or a small opportunity for they might not even care no more. So while they little, do what you need to do. Because the better your relationship works with them, the better they're going to understand God.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So check this out. The second one, understand and confirm our lives to his will and his way. Yeah, I love that right there. He says, pray and seek my face. Can I suggest to you that prayer is not about changing God? It's about changing you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Prayer has nothing to do with changing God. Prayer's purpose is to change me and you. As we pray, God reveals his way, his will to us, and then he begins to align our heart and our mind with his will. Look at that. Look at that. That's our hearts and our minds playing tug of war in our life. That's how we look at times. Has anyone ever gotten a car alignment before? Or driven a car that needs a car alignment? Woo! Yeah, that's some laughs. So y'all know I have too, praise God. And it's a trip because it's dangerous, really, because the roads are set. I got lines painted in the street. I'm behind the wheel, but my car don't want to follow that. My car either wants to go too far right or too far left. And really, it's dangerous when my car is not in the right alignment that it should be. And I looked this up. So fixing alignment, it requires this. Squaring the car and its wheels and its axles so with each other, they are moving in the same direction. So to fix the alignment, the wheels and the axles have to be squared perfectly in the same directions so the car can move right. Then the mechanic adjusts various suspensions and angles that influence tire movement and position. Whew. All right, I'm going to get y'all. Y'all ain't get it. Cool. Follow me. The wheels and the axles are our hearts and our minds. So they have to be squared up and all be in the same direction. If not, we get that. They're going left and right. But once we get our will and our mind and heart in the same direction, then the mechanic steps in. I guess y'all haven't figured out the mechanic is God yet. Then the mechanic steps in. And he looks at those suspensions and says, I got to fix these angles. And I got to fix these suspensions. I got to put everything together to influence the movement and the position. Oh, my God. Y'all don't have a church with me today. It's all right. Watch God. As I get my heart and my mind aligned through his word, aligned in prayer, he begins to influence not only my position, but my movement in life. I begin to move a different way. I begin to think a different way. I begin to behave a different way. It's not about behavior, no. But it's because he aligned his heart, aligned my heart and my mind with his word. And now we all on the same direction. So seeking his face means we don't ask for him to configure himself around our life. Yeah. I don't want God to evolve himself around me. No. We bring ourselves under his authority. Yeah. That's why we pray. Check this out. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will be done in me in my life is how we have to pray. Then the more time we pray with God and we seek his face, guess what? The more humble we become. The more unselfish we become. And ultimately, the more we become like Jesus.
Amen.
But it requires us to humble ourselves and seek his face. See, some of our prayers aren't being answered. Why? Because we refuse to seek his face. Yeah, we refuse. The Bible says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So God wants to bless us, wants to give us certain things, but we ain't seeking his face first. So again, how can I give you what I think you should have if you're not seeking me first? Because if I give it to you and you ain't sought me first, you're probably going to abuse it. If I give you that money you really want and you ain't sought me first, you might kill yourself. And I love you too much to let you kill yourself. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then I will add unto you. So God can't add to our lives until we subtract ourselves.
That's good.
God can't add to your life until you start subtracting yourself out the equation.
Wow.
Check this out. The last one. Access and advance his kingdom, his power, and glory. We just talking about what is prayer. Access and advance his kingdom, his power, and his glory. Check this out. When we pray, we are seeking to access God's kingdom resources for his mighty power to work on our behalf and for him to reveal his glory in our situation. Yeah, I like that. You talk about his resources, his power, and then ultimately to reveal his glory in our situation. What does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean? God is not a genie in a bottle, but he got our power.
That's it.
Yeah. He's not a genie, but he got our resources. So he chooses what to do with those, but when we seek his face, it's easy for him to reveal his glory to us.
Yeah.
See, prayer is not about prayer. It's about the person of God himself.
Yeah.
See, when prayer only becomes about the provision, when God can give me things,
yeah.
When prayer only becomes about his protection, how God can protect me, when prayer only becomes about how he can provide and protect, then we're not seeking his face, we're seeking our own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And God never called for us to seek our own agenda. He called for us to seek his face. So if I'm starting praying for just things I want and just for his protection, I'm not praying for his will to be done in my life. I'm not praying for people to be saved. I'm not praying for him to help me grow spiritually.
Yeah.
Then somewhere we've gotten off track.
Yeah.
And that means we're not really seeking his face.
That's good.
So back to the scripture at hand. My people, my God-defined people respond by what? Humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, my face, and turning their back on their wicked ways. Yeah, we talked about humility, prayer, long-suffering for God, seeking his face. And the last thing that got my attention, and it tripped me out, did God just say, turn our back on our wicked lives? Did God just call us wicked? Did he call us wicked? That's some strong words. And if we are honest with ourselves, we know we've all done something, thought about something that was outside of God and his nature. We've all done that. So God calls us all wicked. Guess what? Nobody is above nobody. Check this out. I'm approved to you. Everybody's wicked. Romans, the book of Romans, one of the best Bibles in the book. My professor, one of my professors, Mike Smith, says it's the greatest book in the Bible. I encourage you to read it. Why? Because it takes the Old Testament and it combines it with the New Testament. It goes through the law and shows what Jesus did for our sins and shows why he had to come to save us. But this is one of the scriptures in Romans chapter 3. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You take a deep breath here. You inhale, exhale right there. That's just you. We all got an issue. We all got a problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I, you, us, me, we. All have sinned.
Yeah.
All of us have lived, have done something outside the will of God. So to turn from our wicked ways means what? We have to repent of our sins.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Not just ask for forgiveness. Because trip me out, my wife is a testament to this. She hates the word I'm sorry. And it was my fault when I was trying to praise God. Have mercy. Pastor when I was pastor. So she hates the word I'm sorry. And as I got older, I understood it because when you say you're sorry and then you continue to do the same thing you said you were sorry for, are you really sorry? Let me say that again. If you're sorry, but you continue to do the same things you said you were sorry for, are you really sorry?
Yeah, that's good.
And she doesn't like the word sorry because if you don't mean it, don't say it. So repentance means like I'm not just asking for forgiveness. I acknowledge it's wrong, but I'm trying wholeheartedly to turn away from the thing I asked for forgiveness for. That's what repentance is. So repentance means to change your heart and your mind. When we decide to follow Christ, we all decided we repented right there. Because we say, you know what? I acknowledge my sins. I need a Savior. I need to change your heart, change your mind. We all have decided to follow Christ when we repented because we said, I need a Savior. But God isn't allowing all these issues to arise. I told you, look at that. He said he's going to shut up heaven and let the locusts eat up the plains and devour everything. He's not letting all these issues arise for nothing. No, when God is trying to get your attention and things are going wrong, he's trying to bring you to repentance.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's all he's doing. He's trying to bring, because he cares about you and he loves you. He's trying to correct what's wrong in your life. So when things start getting a little chaotic, it ain't to turn your back on him, but to bring you closer to him.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's trying to bring you back to repentance. So I hear some people in my spirit. Okay, Pastor. Even though I repented and asked for forgiveness, I ran back to that thing, Pastor.
Yeah.
I thought I repented, but I ran back to it. Yeah, yeah. So I gotta say this. God does not give out commit sin free cards. He don't do that. If he did, he wouldn't be holy, he wouldn't be God. That's not who he is. But check this out. But he knows what you deal with. He knows your struggle. He knows you better than you know yourself. So I might have repented, but I messed up and went back to it. And this is why every Sunday we come together. Every day of your life, really, but on Sunday, I should be here doing cartwheels, backflips. Y'all should be doing all because of this scripture right here. This is 1 John 1:8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if you say you ain't sinned, Bible tells you a liar. Because everybody is sinning. If you say you ain't never sinned, you a liar. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Y'all don't want to have church today.
Yeah.
That right there let me know that in the midst of my struggles, in the midst of my pain, if I acknowledge it and confess them to him, not only will he forgive me, but he's going to cleanse me from all my unrighteousness.
Amen.
So God is saying, agree with me. What I said is your sin. And then guess what? I'm going to clean you from it. So when I clean you from it, I clean up the excuses. See, when we repent from our sins, he forgives and cleanses me. Then I go from making excuses for my sins to making adjustments for them.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I go from making excuses like we are human. I go from making excuses like it wasn't my fault. No, I confessed and repented. Now that I know it's an issue, now I can make an adjustment.
Amen.
Yeah. You got to be a place in your life. This is what trips me out about God, because he said he's going to cleanse us from not only forgive, but cleanse us. So you got to get to a place in your life when you're growing, you're praying, you're getting closer with God. And when you do that, a fire gets on the inside of you.
Right.
So this fire begins to grow and grow and grow. You're loving God. You're loving his word. You're praying. You're worshiping. All these things happen. And then that thing try to creep back in your life. I've been serving God, doing this. And he tries to get me off. The devil tries to come into my heart and my mind, tries to get me off track with sin. But then you got to think about it like this. God has been doing so much in my life. I'd rather ask him to continue to bless me than ask for forgiveness for something I know I don't need.
Amen.
Woo! Everybody went over your head. I got to get to the point in my life that I'm going so good with God and we rolling strong and we hanging, we tough. And he been blessing me that says, you know what? If I did it, I know he'll forgive me, but he's been blessing me so much, I don't want to mess up that relationship. I want us to stay where we at. We rolling tight, you my road dog. I love you, you love me. So why am I going to throw you away for a cheap thrill?
Cheap thrill, wow, that's good.
So what our sins cause, his blood cures. Oh my God. What our sins cause, what our sins do, his blood cures us from this thing, y'all. So we need the blood of Jesus to not only forgive us, but it cleanses us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we need his blood to cure us. Amen. Back to the text. My people, my God-defined people respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, turning their back on their wicked lives. I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land of health. Woo. Wow. I'm trying to give you the recipe to get God's forgiveness.
Amen.
As your personal life and as a city and a nation as well.
Yes, right.
Check it out. If you want to seek God's forgiveness and allow the blessings to flow, we have to have humility. Mm-hmm. We have to pray. We have to long for him and seek his face, and we have to repent of our sins. Once we do those things, thank you, Eugene Patterson, for my ghetto version. I'll be there ready for you. Woo.
Amen.
Once we do those things, God promised I'll be there ready for you. So remember, God establishes what he desires. I believe this is why our lives, our country, everything's in shambles right now, because he ain't listening from heaven. He said if we do those things, then he will listen from heaven. If we turn on the news, we see our streets are messed up. Social media, we see things going on crazy. The TV, the media, stories from our close ones, our friends. We see the nation, and the government is shut down. Everything is going crazy. I have to believe that maybe God ain't listening from heaven. Yeah. God always wants to blow our minds, y'all. Remember that God is God. Our little minds can't understand how great and how awesome he is. So not only does he want to forgive us, he wants to restore health to our land. He wants to heal us. This is why I believe the Apostle Paul wrote, said this, that us and him who is able to do exceedingly or abundantly, more than I can ask or think, but it's according to the power that works within us. So God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly. He just don't want to forgive your sins. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal your land. He wants to heal, do all these things. But it's according to the power that works within you.
Yeah.
We got a God going to do his part. He already put it in his word. We got to do our part and step up to the challenge. So what is our land? Our homes are part of our land. If we don't have any peace in our home, he wants to give it to you. Yeah. And we are struggling in our own personal health. God wants to restore it. He wants to help us out only way he can. But check this out. But we have to follow the blueprint that he gave Solomon right there. See, the word heal means this: to cure, repair, or make whole. So God cannot begin to heal us or bring healing to our land if we don't surrender to him. I was going to call this message I surrender at first, because the fact that nothing happens without God surrendering. So what is surrender to me? Surrender is when you throw up a white flag. So we know anything about war movies and those time and nature. Two intense, there'd be a battle going on, both sides in an intense battle. But when one side figures out they can't defeat the other side, they tie a white flag and put it on a stick. Mm-hmm. And a white flag means that I surrender to you. Whatever you're going to have me to do, I'm accepting your kingship, your lordship. I'm accepting you guys now, because now I can't defeat you. So now I want to follow you.
Yeah.
So on this first Sunday of 2019, I believe God is calling for his people to throw up the white flag.
Thank
you. You try to defeat God in your own way. You try to go against God, doing this thing my way, how I want to, how I. Two words that got to die in God's kingdom is I and my. Two words that got to die when you come into God is I and my, because you're not living, your life don't belong to you no more. And not about yours, it's about ours. What are we going to do to advance his kingdom?
Amen.
So as God is coming and calling you, the quickest way to get a response from God is throwing up our hands as Solomon did. And he said, Lord, I surrender. I know I'm the king. I know I got this. I know I got that. But if you don't bless it, if you don't put your hands on it, if you don't keep it, I'm going to lose it. Same thing applies to our lives. God is calling us to throw up that white flag. He just wants to see you wave a white flag in your heart. He wants you to throw up your hands and say, God, I'm sick of doing this my way. I've been living my life my way a long time. And if I would have listened to you instead of did things my way, I would have saved myself a lot of heartache and pain. I would have saved myself a lot of trouble. I would have saved myself a lot of things I didn't even have to go through because I didn't surrender to you. So as I close this thing down, all I want to know is anybody here willing to give up their rights today? Is anybody saying, Lord, you know what? I'm willing to repent for my sins, humble myself, and seek your face. I've been seeking stuff too long. I've been seeking things. I've been seeking drugs. I've been seeking alcohol. I've been seeking money. I've been seeking sex. I've been seeking all these things. This is my own personal space. I've been seeking just my agenda for too long. And my agenda ain't working out like I thought it would. God loves you and he cares for you. So today's the day. If you want to give your heart to Christ, let today be the day. If you say, you know what? I gotta surrender. I gotta throw up the white flag. I gotta throw it up. Once I throw up that white flag, God can begin to work on you. God can begin to do what he wants to do. But you gotta make a conscious choice to say, you know what? Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you now. So if you do not know Jesus in the midst of your sins, if you have not said, Lord, I need you to be my Lord and my Savior. Not just my Savior. I thank you for saving, but I need you to be my Lord. The ruler of my life. I need your word to guide me. The Bible says that you be a light. The word is a light to my path. A light to your path. Our paths are dark because we don't have the light we need, which is Christ. So maybe you are saved and you're looking for a church home. We would love to have you here at New Creation Church. We would love to bring you to be part of our ministry as we continue to build God's people, begin to love on God's people, and bring healing to our land through prayer and through love. Maybe you need special prayer today. I don't know what you stand in need of or a candidate for baptism. What are you standing in need of? But I know God is real. And I know he'll be there. No matter what you've done or what you're going through, no matter how far you think you stray, he promised that if we would humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked lives, he'll be right there. The Bible says this, that God is married to the backslider. So no matter how many times you backslide, he's waiting on you to slide back. Allow God to be God in your life. He loves you. He cares for you. He just waiting on you. You coming up here giving us your hand, but you giving God your heart. God wants your heart. He loves you. What better way to start off 2019 and say, you know what? I'm going to be committed to God this year. I ain't say I was going to be perfect this year, no. But I'm going to be committed to God. I'm going to grow in God. I'm going to allow God to have his way in my life this year. I'm going to let him do what he wants to do. Did enough of me. I've been doing me for 20 years, 25 years, 30, 40 years, whatever the case may be. I've been doing me too long. And me done got myself in all kinds of situations. But thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that covers our sins, that brings us back. So if you know you need to be saved, let today be the day. If you know I need to give my life to Christ, looking for a church home. Lady Thompson, I love you. Love you. Love to encourage you to be there for you, to pray there with you, whatever you stand in need of. But make a decision for Christ. Maybe you need special prayer. If you need special prayer, at this time you can come forth as well. But whatever you stand in need of, we are here. And we love you. And we thank God for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't stretch this out, but I do want to give you the opportunity. And I said this last week, maybe some people are not comfortable coming in front of people, that's fine. You want to talk to us after service, please feel free to, whatever the case may be, whatever you stand in need of. Amen. Let's give God a praise in this place. Give God a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Give God a praise in this place. God is my Lord. God is my Lord. kept us and protected us and all that he has done. He's been good and kind. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for today. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your presence here today.